And it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast. And it is 8 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is January 18, 2016. And this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to cover some highlight from the Democratic debate of last night. And we're going to put some news in focus, and we want to know where America is going. And, of course, we're going to catch up with the latest Middle East, sagas between the Iranian and the Saudis. And we're going to have some information about innovation that I love so much. And I really, really want to start up with finishing what I started last week. Last week, I mentioned Prince Harry, that he's always on a go and he's on a mission and he's ready to roll his sleeve up and working for the world as a prince, but as a great soul that helps humanity. And if we think about the role that the prince, you know, the royal family plays and the responsibility he takes on their shoulder to expose all the things that happen in Africa and whatever we don't pay attention, where they take the time to travel, to go and to enhance the connection of, you know, all, the global connection between people, something that we need to recognize. And I wanted to finish by telling about Prince Harry and what he's up to for the 2016 years. All right? So let's listen to this.
Prince Harry has met a crew of wounded ex-servicemen who successfully rowed across the Atlantic. The four-man team completed the 3,000-mile journey in December, backed by charity Road to Recovery. During his visit to Oxfordshire, the prince also toured at the town's river and rowing museum and watched an indoor rowing demonstration. This isn't the first time Prince Harry has talked to this team. He actually called them from his South Pole expedition to wish them luck before they set off on their voyage. Road to Recovery is a Henley-based charity which supports the development of military power rowing in partnership with British Rowing. The Prince is backing a move to encourage more wounded veterans to take up the sports.
All right, and that was nice. It's part of the work that the royal family do for the world, and Prince Harry is taking all full responsibility. He's grown up to be a real kind heart. Well, he was born like this, like his mom, God bless her soul. Anyway, so let's keep on going. I have to say thank you for, to David Solomon from Solomon Capital that invited me to visit with his office. They are a financial institution, and it's a very, very strong company that provides investment banking and corporate finance, and they are in Herzliya in Israel. And they actually start, you know, Solomon Capital is an IPO advisor and work with non-UK companies. And I think that they're going to, you know, expand a little for the U.S. market. So I'm just saying thank you, Solomon Capital, and God bless you and good luck in the new office that you just opened up in Herzliya. All right, this is as far as thank you go. This is Finish Your Business, which it's incredible because sometimes when you do a show And you say, I said something and I didn't finish up, and that was important to me. All right, now I have a message to send to all our friends in New York. You know, in the last debate and the GOP debates, we heard some kind of New York is mentality, New York attitude, New York something. And we all know that in the world today, we need that spirit. So whoever thinks else, we don't mind. We love you, New York, and we dedicate this song to all of you.
Start spreading news. I'm leaving today.
Wow, that was 1982 of Liza Minnelli, New York, New York. If I can make it there, I can make it anywhere. That's the song that makes sense. And just think about the contender that we have for the presidents of the USA. Let's talk about it from a global perspective, because I'm from outside right now, from the Middle East, looking to a race. Now, people are sitting in an American couch, think that, you know, it's their business only. They will decide, of course. However, you choosing the leader of the free world, it means that your direction and American direction will give the heartbeat to the world. And it's so important to be a little critical at this point. Then let's think about what is critical. Critical is to think where the world is going. If you want to take it to, you know, the economic side, if you want to take care of business, people need to have a life. Because we all know that you know, the devastation of the last few years, it wasn't you know, American fault or anybody fault. It just evolved, you know, the world evolved, and we arrived to a point where, you know, all the money is handled by a few. All the corporation is bossed by a few. And there is 1.5% of the population that is in charge of the rest of the world. To like it or not, this is the way it is. So what are we going to do about it? Let's ask a critical question. Do you think that they're going to take it anymore? Do you think that the people, the one that worked so hard and lost their houses, going to stay put and say, okay, you guys enjoy your yacht and planes, the half percent, while we bust our, you know, our life to be to survival mode? I'm so sorry, but it's not happening, because the youth, you see, the youth, the younger generation, forget the baby boomer. The baby boomer are the one who created the boom, the financial boom, and then they blow it up. They believe that they can use and abuse everything that they put their hands on it. And they messed it up, and nothing we can do about it. They didn't leave anything for the younger generation. This younger generation doesn't take it. And we have to choose between attitude of a globalization that we all make a part of, you know, of the game, and we play right, and we share the resources of the world. And those half percent of the world needs to invest in it. They have, you see, let's say that we are happy with what we got right now. However, to keep the world going, you need to invest. And those half percent that hold all the resources need to invest in the world. Nothing they can do about it. Because it will be by hook or by crook. They're all going to invest. or the money is going to go away in some other form. I don't know. But right now, this is the direction that the world is leading with a big question mark. Are we going to settle? So we have a debate. We had a debate last night of Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and the governor, which was incredible, but I can't even remember his name. Wow. But he's young, nice. He'll have it in a different chance, but it's good exposure. I'll find out by the end of the show. Anyway, let's listen what Bernie Sanders had to say on one of his shows. All right?
Here's the simple truth, that in America we have millions and millions of working people who are working hard but are not making enough money to put bread on the table or to take care of their kids, and that has got to end.
Today, all over America, you got mom working, you got dad working, occasionally you have the kids working, and we still don't have enough money to pay the bills. Something is fundamentally wrong about that. The problems we face did not come down from the heavens. They are made by bad human decisions. And good human decisions can change them. It is time that the United States of America join the rest of the industrialized world and guaranteed health care to all people as a right, not a privilege. Given the incredible wealth and income inequality in America today, we need fair elections, which means public funding of elections. My Republican friends just decided to put another $38 billion into the military. Maybe we can cut military spending a little bit and put it into education. 100 years ago, women didn't even have the right to vote. Change takes place because people struggle. Within the next month, I will introduce legislation that will make every public college and public university tuition free. I am in this business because I have 4 beautiful kids and I have 7 beautiful grandchildren. And like you, I want to make sure that the world that we leave them is a beautiful world where people can live full and dignified lives. I don't want to see a world where people are struggling and stepping all over each other. And we can do it. We can provide health care to all of our people. We can create decent paying jobs. We can reverse climate change and transform our energy system. We can raise wages. We can make sure that every person in this country gets the education they need and desire. This is not some type of utopian dream. It can happen. It really can. But it will not happen unless we stand up and fight back for not only ourselves, but for our kids and future generations. Let's do it.
All right. That was Bernie Sanders. Senator Bernie Sanders always was a socialist. He's a democratic socialist, as they say. It means that they, you know, they believe in a social economy and in a democratic way. Now, think about what he's saying. He said, you know, in the first, when he started saying about the school tuition or school available, school for higher education for everybody, I said, who's going to pay for it? And then I found out how he's going to create that fund to pay for the education. And he said that he's going to tax all the, you know, the people that work, not the work, that play, and it's the right way to describe it, play on Wall Street. Now, if you think about the rich and famous, they juggle a lot of money, and the funds for school needs to be a part of, you know, the routine. Anyway, if you want to have more involved communities and humanity in general, you need to invest in education. That will be a tax, you know, that I would see that it will be perfectly right. Healthcare for everybody. Hillary Clinton last night said that she opposed dismantling the health care that exist today. And he said, no, we are not going to dismantle it. We're going to correct it, and you're going to have it available, because thousands of people die every year because they don't have affordable health insurance. And we all know in America that health insurance is crucial for your survival. It's important. You cannot even get your, you know, headache medicine, you know, prescription drugs if you don't have insurance, and the copay is tremendous. The insurers charge arm and a leg, and the Obamacare that created did not cover everybody, I guess. So healthcare for everybody, that's something that happens all over the world. It's about time that America will have it. I'll second that. School, of course, I would love everybody to have school, and it doesn't mean, you know, that, you know, they said if you have a correction about, there is like a method that they want to correct how many people go to school by fixing it and putting more black to help them go educate. And he said something beautiful. He said, you know, affordable school to everybody, period. Without, it doesn't matter who you are, you will have schooling. Then he's talking about transportation. But something that really concerned me is the union, because we have the union's force behind them, and they can tilt the power sometimes to be a little obnoxious. So I know it's from California, but let's listen. I think that they have something segment on the union, which is incredible. We'll get. I think that the postal workers and nurses union, they endorse Bernie Sanders. And if we can get that, that would be great.
Welcome to the Real News Network. I'm Sharmini Peeris, coming to you from Baltimore. The 250,000-member American Postal Workers Union announced its endorsement of Bernie Sanders' campaign this Thursday, stating that his opposition to postal plant closures and cuts to its operations as among the reasons for their support. This endorsement follows the 180,000-member National Nurses Union, who also endorsed Sanders a few months ago, citing his position on financial reform, climate change, and health care as reasons for their support. The nurses will also be canvassing and holding rallies for Sanders this Saturday prior to the Democratic Party debate in Des Moines, where author activist Cornel West is expected to speak on behalf of Bernie Sanders. The backing from these two major labor unions over his leading primary opponent, Hillary Clinton, is significant, says election analyst. Further, in a recent article titled "Why I Support Bernie" in the Rolling Stone magazine, journalist Matt Taibbi took up the argument that, say, Bernie is not electable, writing, "Sanders is a clear outlier in a generation that has forgotten what it means to be a public servant. More than any other politician in recent memory, Bernie Sanders is focused on reality. It is the rest of us who are lost," Taibbi writes. In spite of the growing endorsements and enthusiasms that Sanders has sparked, particularly at rallies across the country and on university campuses with the millennials, Bernie appears to be under criticism from some people on the left. For example, Ralph Nader. He critiques Bernie for running within the Democratic Party apparatus and killing the possibility of the rise of a third party or parties, which Nader argues has historically been very successful at sparking progressive change by encouraging more public debate.
All right. I interrupted that because that was the point that I want to refer to as far as the third party possibility. You see, Ralph Nader, which is always the independent extreme, I guess that's what they call him. He's a very nice man. Wanted Bernie Sanders to be a part of the independents, and then of course his chances to win were almost slim, because to break through as an independent and to break through to the president race, actually, you divide the election to three, which give the opponent a better chance to overcome you because it's divided in three. So I don't think Ralph Nader has a right to complain. Now, Bernie Sanders has a socialist view. It means that we're all going to go to have a different kind of life. But what about foreign affairs? They say that he's not going to endorse, you know, attacks. He wants politics as and diplomacy. That's his way of being, which in this time and events that surround everybody can be a little challenging. But he's not against gun control. He's not against guns, you know, and the guns control rallies that the president and Hillary are endorsing is not something Bernie Sanders does, which is surprising, but I can understand that it might appeal to many independents in such a way that will, not just because he's a part of it, but also the right-winger that have a little liberal view with the arm, you know, and against gun control can feel comfortable with that. But foreign affair is something that he was lacking, not because he doesn't understand it. He'd been around in politics for too long, and he's incredibly savvy. I think that if the Democrats will elect him, the GOP will have a lot to work with. I don't know what everybody thinks, but if the leading role of Donald Trump is going to be the nominated guy for the GOP primaries, I think that head to head we have New Yorker against New Yorker, because Bernie Sanders is a New Yorker. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very tough, and I think that those two will have a big challenge to overcome. So all bets are up, guys. And for the other candidate, I don't know. It's not the turf. But, you know, it's a different way of thinking, so we have to consider what will happen. All right, guys, I think it's time for some music. Let's listen to some music now. All right, and we are back. This is really Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. It's exciting new week, Monday. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week ahead. It's overwhelming with all the news. Of course, we have to learn that the Iranian accord is up and running. They're going to lift the sanction. They're lifting the sanction. They're going to have a lot of money, and the Iranians are already ordering bus airliners, Airbus, they call it, from the French or the cooperation, French, German, etc. It's good because they'll be start shopping. The Iranian will start feeling a little free. They can have the commerce. I know that in Israel they're not happy with that, but sometimes fear can overcome people. We really need to trust in God on this one, because it can go both ways, and we're supposed to pursue a peaceful being. And we hope that the idea of right neighborhood, where everybody is working hard to, you know, to do business, to overcome the challenges, try to educate all the children and maybe take care of those refugees. I know that there are a lot of people that are working to help the refugees in the region. We have refugees in Jordan. We have refugees in Greece. We have refugees in Turkey. We have camps. We need to have those free zones where they can camp and not go anywhere, because we heard, we have news about those children that lost their life trying to run from an island to the island of in Greece, which they say that it was only 8 kilometers of this one distance. I think that it's from Turkey to Greece, and they die only 8 kilometers, which is nothing. So I guess that when they left, even that it's winter, they thought it will be safe, right? But it wasn't, I guess. Destiny, that's a tough one. So we've been trying to work hard to create some kind of understanding in the region to help those refugees. I know that the United Nations is starting to pay attention more, like, closely. The UNRWA, you know, United Mission for the refugees of the Palestinian are trying to collect their thoughts and see what happened to their money, which is very smart, because you need to be in charge of whatever you distribute. And at the end of the day, we want to build up nations, and we want to start rebuilding the economy everywhere. And we need to do it as one. I know that Europeans are struggling a lot, and I think that it will be okay to think that maybe a new day is on the horizon. Now, let's focus for a minute about the Saudis and Assad, you know, comment on Assad. The Saudi has a comment about Assad's role in the future of the region.
We hope they will. The Syrian opposition was gathered together in Riyadh in an unprecedented move. All of the factions were represented. They agreed on a platform, on a vision for Syria. They agreed on what the new Syria should look like and the process for getting there. And they picked their negotiating team. And so now they're ready. It is the regime of Bashar al-Assad that has been dragging its feet. And
it says it's
and
ready. Not spread.
Well, we will see. It has said many things before that it didn't comply with. We hope that the talks will begin on the 25th so we can launch the process that will lead to the establishment of an interim governing council that will assume power from the Bashar regime and that will then move towards writing a new constitution and having elections. And we hope that and expect that during the interim period of this transition period, Bashar al-Assad will exit because he has absolutely no role to play in the future Syria.
If the talks go ahead on the 25th, you will have to sit at the same table as Iran. Are you going to be able to work together now that you don't have diplomatic relations and the strains are at an unprecedented low?
Well, I think that the talks will be between Syrians and Syrians. We will not be at the table, nor will Iran.
But they'll open
but,
with you.
We are committed to the process, the transition process in Syria. We are committed to the what is called now the Vienna process, the Geneva principles, and the principles enshrined in the UN Security Council resolutions, in spite of our differences with Iran.
You've had talks with the U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry. He's possibly leaving London to go to an announcement that sanctions will be lifted against Iran. Did you have concerns that you expressed to him?
We have concerns about Iran's behavior in general. Iran is a country that has to decide whether it is a revolution or a nation state. If it is a revolution, it is irrational and emotional and impulsive and expansionary and irrational, difficult to deal with. If it is a nation state, nation states tend to be reasonable, rational actors, and they know their limits, and they work on the basis of what is mutually beneficial. And so with Iran, we're not sure. We don't know if it's a revolution or a nation state. We hope it will see itself as a nation state and act as such. But what we have seen, unfortunately, in the last 35 years is a country that has used murder a country that has used terrorism, a country that has used sectarianism, a country that has interfered in the affairs of others in the region in a very destructive and destabilizing manner. That is what concerns us.
But they have concerns about you and your behavior in the region, your decision to suddenly cut off ties, the execution of Nimr al-Nimr.
What business does Iran have in it? Iran puts to death more than 1,000 people a year. That's their business. We don't know why they were put to death. In our case, this was transparent. Iran is arguing that this man was a man of religion and a peaceful protester. He was a terrorist. He was as much a man of religion as Osama bin Laden was. He was recruiting, he was inciting, he was equipping, he was plotting, and he was executing terrorist attacks that led to the death of a number of security officials in Saudi Arabia, and that's why he was sentenced to death. And so, with all due respect to Iran, they have no business interfering in our judiciary, one. And two, the last thing they can say is that Saudi Arabia engaged in any kind of aggression towards them. We have been on the receiving end of Iran's aggression for decades now.
The situation is really getting to the bottom line right now. We have the Iranian against the Saudis and the Saudis' standoff. And all it's the bottom line is that the price of oil is down to $30 approximately, which means that from $100 to $30, it's a loss of a lot of capital. Something that makes you think that, you know, the Saudis, if they want, they can sell the oil even in $5. So they have still room to go. And something that the Iranian that needs to recover so many years of sanctions, we'll have our time. So I wonder why they're playing it tough. Why do they think that they can take and bully people around with all this pretense or whatever? And they, of course, they have something to say that, you know, everybody's happy, but the Zionists, the Zionism is Zion is Jerusalem, sir. Whoever is listening, Iran, hello? Every time people are complaining about Zionism, I laugh because Zion is in the Bible. It's is Jerusalem. It means that the holy city of God. What's this problem? You guys have a problem with the God of Israel. Well, you do. Okay. Good luck. You know, Pharaoh in Egypt had a problem, and he had 10 execution, I guess, of a sort of a divine intervention that we had there. Come on, you guys cannot fight our God, or nobody fights religion. And this obsession with Judaism has started to be old, you know? Because at the end of the day, we're supposed to help the world. So it's like the nurse, the doctor, or the people that are taught to learn society in a different way, and is supposed to heal it, to bring light, to bring people together, and give us a chance. Maybe it will surprise you. Of course, there are people that will put you down everywhere. They are, you know, but still love you guys. I love everybody. Can't stop loving because somebody just put you down for a minute. What is, if your love depends on things, it means that it's not love. Now, you won't have happiness if you don't feel the love for real. So it's gonna happen. So just let it be. Stop trying to control everything. Everything will come to place. Do your best. Get into action. Don't sit down and back and wait. Just move on. And we all will have, you know, a better day tomorrow. You do your best. I do my best. At the end of the day, we can go to sleep being happy and fulfilled that we did what we can. And God will provide the rest. That's the rule. And there is a story, old story that I don't know if I told you that before, but there was, you know, two men that worked hard, the land, and they were waiting for the corpse to come. So the king of that area came about, and he said to the two farmers, come on, I want you guys to grow me wheat, and you do your best, and whoever wins get to marry my daughter, let's say. So he said, all right. And the guys at the end of the year came back and said, who have the better wheat? And one guy said, you know, there you go, he won. And the other farmer came to him and said, listen, I watched the farm every day, day and night. I didn't stop. I didn't sleep. And my wheat is not as good as yours. What happened? The other farmer said, listen, I did my share. I took care of it. I gave it water. I farmed it well. But after that, I left it to God to do the rest. And that's what it is. We cannot control everything, and we need God in everything, you know, so to be a part of it. This world is His. We just, you know, members of His club. All right, guys? I don't know what Sandy, you know, Bernie Sanders say. I call him Sandy all the time. What Bernie Sanders is saying about God, but we'll find out soon enough. All right? Let's see if we can put some back to love, that I love that movie, A Few Grad, and Barrymore.
I've been living with a shadow overhead. I've been sleeping with a cloud above my bed. I've been lonely for so long. Trapped in the past, I just can't seem to move on.
I've been hiding all my hopes and dreams away, just in case I ever need them again someday. I've been setting aside time to clear a little space in the...
All right. You guys, I love that movie. Lyric and Melody. It's something that describes how a song is being made, and the really little... kindness and the thoughtfulness of people behind everything. And you know, you guys in Hollywood, you've been working so hard to give the world a vision of the future. And I know that there are great visions that you can make again for hope for the world to see. My God, it's been a while since Dirty Dancing was out, and now I heard that they're making again the Dirty Dancing, and they're looking for the dancer. I can't believe you got incredible, incredible dancer. You know, Dirty Dancing is a good movie. I think that it's a little cheesy, as, you know, I would give it a little spin to describe it better, but I'm sure that you're going to find an excellent dancer. And it's about time we have some dancing movie, because you'll find out that many of the youth are dancing a lot these days, so they need that inspiration. And it's not just the reggae, they're not the pop, it's real jazz stuff that makes people, you know, go out of reality for a minute. And you know, every time I want to go out of reality, I go and watch my favorite movie. This time is Spy Game with Brad Pitt and Robert Redford. One of the best movies that I've seen in the last decade, I think. And I've been watching movies along for many, many years. And so I can say that being a part of also the industry in Italy, I can tell you that that movie captured my imagination, because it works in so many elements. It has it starts in China, then it goes to DC, then it goes to Berlin, then it goes, oh no, first it goes to Vietnam, then it goes to Berlin, then it goes to back to DC and back to China, and there is all this story evolved. 100% perfect execution of Robert Redford and Brad Pitt. There is a little side of a woman, a girl which that movie I think needs to be done in a more, you know, extended way, more of that, the same feature. Because right now we are living in a hard time and people want to know if it's true or not, but want to know how we solve stuff. And that is how to solve problems. And that's what the imagination needs to see how we do. And every time people ask why people go to see football, and why they go to watch a basketball game, it's only because at the end of the game, we have the result. We know who won and who lost. So it means that we go and play hard, and then we can win, and we can go out and say, we did it. Then you go and start again. And not every time you can win, but every time you can start again. That's something that sports give the spirit of rejuvenation. I'm sorry. It starts, you know, your spirit rise up every time again and again because you know you can start and you need to reignite. And the world needs reignition now. And we need to move hard. We need to act, you know, and work together, because at the end of the day, we're going to do it and we're going to make it better. Now, I know that the Chinese prime minister, president, got his vision for the future and collaboration. And if the Chinese are aboard, I think that the world is going to be better off. And now that we're going to have election in America, I think we have another segment that we want to use for Bernie Sanders, and then we're going to go to Elon Musk, something that I want you to listen to.
Senator Sanders, welcome to Fox News Sunday.
Good to be with you.
Senator, you say that you are considering running against Hillary Clinton, among other reasons, because you doubt whether or not she's willing to take on the billionaires in America. Here's what she said during a rollout in Iowa this week.
There's something wrong when hedge fund managers pay lower tax rates than nurses or the truckers that I saw on I-80 as I was driving here over the last 2 days.
Senator, don't you believe her?
Well, she's absolutely right, but it's not a question of running against Hillary Clinton or taking on Hillary Clinton. What we are seeing, Chris, right now is that for 40 years, the American middle class has been disappearing. Millions of people are working longer hours for low wage, despite a huge increase in technology and productivity. And what we have seen during that period is a massive transfer of trillions of dollars from the middle class to the top one-tenth of 1% in America. Massive wealth and income inequality, where you have 99% of all new income today going to the top 1% and the top one-tenth of 1%
Senator,
in America owning almost as much wealth
Senator,
as the bottom 90%.
If I may, you told Bloomberg that you had serious doubts about whether she was willing to take on the billionaire class. What are those doubts?
Well, that's fair. Yeah, but it's. But my point is it's not just Hillary Clinton.
Well, I'm asking about Hillary Clinton, no, sir.
Well, the answer is, if I can, please. The answer is that I think that is the fight that we have to wage if we're going to save the middle class. And I do have doubts about whether Hillary Clinton or whether any Republican candidate out there is prepared to take on the big money interests who control so much of our economy and, as a result of Citizens United, our political process as well.
But Clinton says that she wants to be the champion of the middle class. Again, here she is in Iowa this week.
The deck is still stacked in favor of those already at the top. And there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong when CEOs make 300 times more than the typical worker.
What does Senator Clinton or Secretary Clinton need to do, Senator, to persuade you that she's the one to take on this fight?
Well, what she said is absolutely right. I mean, I think from a moral issue, CEOs should not be making, whether it's 270 or 300 times more than their workers are making. But what we need to do, Chris, is to understand that in America, if we're going to be successful in taking on the billionaire class, We need a strong national grassroots movement. And what the secretary have to convince the American people is, in fact, based on her past record and her views today, that she is going to break up the major banks on Wall Street, that she is going to ask the wealthiest people in this country to start paying their fair share of taxes, that she's going to end the abomination of major corporations making billions of dollars, stashing their money in the Cayman Islands and not paying a nickel in federal income tax. That, in fact, she is prepared to deal with this, our disastrous trade policies.
Let me ask you about the trade policy, because back when she was Secretary of State, Clinton said she favored a trade deal with our 11 Pacific partners and fast-track authority to make that happen. That's something Congress is now considering. Now Secretary Clinton says she wants to wait and see. Is that an issue for you vis-a-vis Secretary Clinton?
Well, Chris, you're looking at a guy who was in the House and in the Senate, voted against all of these terrible trade agreements, NAFTA, CAFTA, permanent normal trade relations with China. As I'm sure you'll remember, all of the big money interests, and by the way, Republicans and Democrats, well, they say, oh, well, we're going to create all of these jobs by having a trade agreement with China. Well, the answer is they were wrong, wrong, wrong. Over the years, we have lost millions of decent-paying jobs. These trade agreements have forced wages down in America, so the average worker in America today is working longer hours for lower wages.
So is that a litmus test for you, sir?
I don't have to wait and see.
Is that a litmus test for you to see whether or not Clinton is going to come out against the TPP?
Well, I know where my view is. I hope very much the secretary comes out against it. I think we do not need to send more jobs to low-wage countries. I think corporate America's got to start investing in this country and create decent-paying jobs here.
Let me talk to you about Bernie Sanders now, not Hillary Clinton. You call yourself.
All right, and we are back because we're almost running out of time, and it's really important for us to listen to Elon Musk, that's innovation. We'll listen to it a little bit, and then we'll be back with you just to say goodbye.
It's definitely a phenomena, and I think it's the beginning of a revolution, that Israel is purchased around 600 vehicles and import them to Israel through eBay. I think it's really amazing and exciting to see people, you know, that buys a car with a click, without seeing it, without doing any test beforehand, just with the big trust that they have on our platform. Like they buy an iPhone or a piece of clothing, they can import a car now.
We're talking about vintage cars. What can you tell us about the variety?
Wow, so the variety is amazing. You know, we have the main car that Israeli bought is a Corvette. We have a Mustang, we have a Rolls-Royce, we have BMW, we have Mercedes. We have very different kinds of cars, which everybody can just pick with the large variety that eBay offers and order to Israel.
Nowadays, people know that buying through the internet is good, it's cheap, it's worth it. You have to be careful sometimes. So when we're talking about a car, something that's so big, such a big purchase, why is it worth it?
So, you know, eBay has a vast system of seller performance rating, meaning that past buyers have rated the seller. Meaning if I'm buying for a certain seller, I can be sure that eBay sees this seller as somebody who's trustworthy. Once I place the order, eBay makes sure that everything is been done according to its policy, and we make sure, you know, that the customer at the end will be happy with the result. And I think it's kind of a relations that eBay holds between merchants and buyers, and our target is to make everybody happy. So we're doing everything in order to make such purchases successful.
I understand that there's also an issue here that the cars that are coming from America, because of the climate in America, sometimes are better.
Yeah, it's really surprising, you know, because in Israel we suffer from a lot of dust, and sometimes the finish of the color and the way the car is preserved is much more better than it was here in Israel for the past 30 years. So actually you're getting a car which is in better condition if you had bought it here in Israel.
And what are we marking here today?
We're marking the launch of Ushop Motors, which is a cooperation that we've done together with eBay in developing a platform that assists Israelis to place an order to buy a vehicle online from eBay. meaning we have all the parameters that the Israel government requests from a buyer to place when he buys a car. And we actually created a new shopping experience to Israelis and make this process smooth in purchasing such a large and also very emotional purchase.
And as we can see behind you, it's not only cars, we're also talking about motorcycles.
Definitely, also motorcycles, and we're not celebrating today, but also cars, boats, and yachts. And you see everything that you can buy online, you can definitely now import to Israel.
Instead of calling it the American dream, it's the global dream.
Yeah, it's becoming also the Israeli dream, and it's not so far-fetched, you know, to buy cars that you wouldn't even think of dreaming about.
Porsche 911. All right, guys, I like to drive. I grew up in Italy, so driving is something we get. Okay, 911, maroon, beautiful. If one day soon. Anyway, guys, we are going to say goodbye now. I know that I promised you more. Elon Musk is going to be for next week, but that was an experience, the Israeli experience with buying through eBay, the buying groceries. Unbelievable. It's good. Why not? If they can afford it, it's fine. And I'm sure Rolls-Royce is delivering fine cars everywhere. God bless you all. It's Oily. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday, all right? God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye. Ciao, ciao.